We sit quiet before you, Lord, and bring our whole selves to you in this hour. Someone once said that real transformation happens when the real us meets the real you. And in that meeting, the authentic us and the authentic you, when we come together, that we might be changed. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us courage to come before you in real and honest ways. Not ashamed, not burdened by sin any longer, knowing that you have made a way for us to see you and to know you and to be in relationship with you. Thank you, God, for this space and this time. Thank you for the promise of your forgiveness when we come and we confess before you. We ask that you would help us to know your presence, help our eyes to see your work amongst us, help us to see you in the faces of the people who are around us. Help us to see you particularly in the faces in our community with people who are suffering, knowing that you are with them in a unique and particular way. We know that you are a God that aligns yourself with those who are oppressed and marginalized and whose backs are against the wall, who suffer silently. Lord, we believe that you are there, and I pray that you would help us to be courageous people, to not have our eyes turned away, but that we would seek your face in those faces. We ask these things in the name of Jesus and in the way that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Also, just if you didn't know, Communion Sunday, we are all together with the children so that our Sunday school teachers can have a Sunday in service, and so that we can all be together as a community of faith sharing the sacrament. So, as I said before, the sermon series that we've entitled, and you should know this about me, I'm the worst. I only know one other person who dislikes this more than I do, and it's titling things. Titling, and I won't say him, but his name is Tally. Tally and I speak every week, and when he preaches, and I'm calling him, and I'm saying, we need a title for your sermon, and he's like, I don't know. I'm not a titling or a branding kind of person. But the title of this particular series is called Words That Bring New Life, and it's intended to help us. You know, the Sundays in Lent are during the season of Lent are intended actually to be mini Easters, right? So along the journey of your week, the 6 days of Lent where you're reflecting, you're giving up things, you're listening to God, you're being introspective, you're asking God to show you what God would have you to do. Sunday is intended to be sort of a mini Easter in that process. So when you come here, we are going to talk about words that bring new life, and those that will be preaching. I'm not the only person preaching in this series. I'm asking those who are preaching to actually, you know, pray and dig into the scripture and go, what is the new life that's found in this particular passage? But we also know that in the season of Lent and as Christians, that God is also asking us to surrender, right? There is a death that happens when we make our way to the cross. And you and I have to die every day. There's something in us that God, there's something in all of us that God continues to want from you, that want from me, to continue to give to God so that you and I can experience the fullness of life that God intends for everyone to have. And when we hang on to things, and we hang on to this over here, and we're unwilling to let it go and let it die, we can't really experience the fullness of what God has. And also, I am completely aware that we are imperfect people. We sin and we fall every day. And sometimes the power of the transformation happens in the dialogue between the two, right? Paul calls it the thorn in his flesh. Some of us have thorns in our flesh that it's probably, maybe will never go away, right? But the power of what happens in your relationship with God is that you continue to give it to God, give it to God, give it to God, and watch how your life grows over time. And some of these other things mean that you may struggle with some things, and I may struggle with some things for the rest of my life in this flesh. But the process is my obedience to God to continue to come anyway and say, God, please forgive me and help me, and I'm giving this to you yet again. Okay? So don't grow weary in the giving up of things, because there is a process that's happening in you. There's a purifying that's happening just in the simple act of being obedient to come and confess. And there is life, full life and abundant life and eternal life when we get there. But all along the way, you and I will see life happen. So that's what we're doing. And those that are preaching, I'm asking them to do two things, myself included. What is the word of new life? And then what is it that we are being asked to give over, to give up? What are we being asked to give up? It's an exercise in faith. If you and I were perfect, you wouldn't be sitting here. You would be, I don't know where, but you wouldn't be here. It's an exercise and a testing of our faith. And today's scripture is Matthew 4:1-11, and this is Jesus' own testing in the desert. And so I'm going to ask you to turn with me to your scripture. Open your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in front of you in the pew, otherwise known as pew Bibles. I didn't know that. page 3 in the New Testament. Is that right? Did I get that right? We're on chapter 4. And we're going to read all of this together so that we can actually hear the Word of God, read the Word of God together as a community. So, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness together to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. When I was trying to be clever with my sermon title, the words that kind of jumped out at me was this idea that Jesus answered. And Jesus answered. And so in each of these three temptations, when Jesus is having this conversation or this temptation from Satan, that Jesus had a way to answer. And so this would be my first question for all of us that experience some kind of temptation in our lives. What is your answer? How do you answer the voices in your head? Whatever voices come that probably you and I know are not the greatest thoughts or the greatest ideas or the greatest things that are coming at us, right? How do you answer that? And as believers, this says to me that we have to have enough of a relationship with God to actually know that the answer is found here, and it is found in Jesus. Jesus had a way to answer and to fight back, and it is a fight. It's a fight. I'm not going to pretend up here that there's not things that are going on in our personal lives, our family lives, our homes, our relationships, our friendships, our marriages, our communities, our country, our world, that isn't just flat out frustrating, wrong, evil, whatever that might be. And as Christians, we just can't stand by and go, well, I can't deal with it, or it's just the way it is, and I'm just going to have to wait until God comes back. No. While we are here, God has given us a way to fight this and to do battle, because it is a battle. It's a spiritual battle that you and I are in. And sometimes we might want to pretend that it's not a spiritual battle. And sometimes I think, I'm not sure, in some church traditions, there's a lot of conversation about the battles that go on in the spiritual realm. And in our tradition, and I'm not sure why, we don't talk about that a whole lot. But I want you to know that it is a real deal, and it's a real battle, and some of us are going through some real stuff, and you can't fight that in your own flesh. You can't fight that on your own. You need the Spirit of God. God has given us His Spirit to do the battle with us. Amen? All right. So there's a passage of Scripture, and this was a very poignant passage of Scripture for me many, many years ago when I was going through some things. And it comes from another place in Scripture that I want to read to you. Be strong in the Lord and mighty in power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you can stand your ground. When I was going through some stuff several years ago, I needed this passage because I had come to the end of my own strength. And I was already walking with Jesus for a very long time, and I found myself trying to do battle in my own strength, in my own knowledge, in my own resources. And a pastor friend of mine reminded me of this passage. Lena, you got to put on all the resources that God has given you to fight. Put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you can stand your ground, and after everything, guess who remains standing? You and me. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We can't do this if we're not people that are committed to the word of God. You cannot fight the battle. You can't stand if we're not people that are in some way, shape, or form having a regular conversation with God from the scriptures. Learning from the scriptures the way that what God has given to us to fight. If you haven't yet started your Lent observation, we put in at the bottom of this bulletin all the passages that the preachers are going to be preaching from every week. Just get into the Word of God and read and pray and ask God to open our hearts. Ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to us so that we can learn. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the devil. That was a big one for me because I was in a space in my life where, and I talked about this a little bit last week, in my head, I hear accusation quite a bit. I'm a person that, you know, I have to fight daily with voices in my mind that accuse me of things that aren't true. They're lies. They're not true. And I'm laying myself out here in hopes that someone else will go, amen, me too. Because otherwise it's just me. But, you know, I have to kind of fight back daily with voices that say things like, you're not smart enough, or you're not gifted enough, or you're not this enough, or you're not that enough, and you're not holy enough, or you're not a good enough pastor, or you're not what a good enough preacher, or anything, you name it. And my close friends in this room know that this is something that I have to kind of continually fight. And there was a time in my life when I was trying to fight that all on my own, until I realized that those voices were the voices of the devil that was accusing me. You follow what I'm saying? Those, you and I have to distinguish between the voice of God and the voice of the evil one. Because sometimes you and I might think that that voice is coming from God, and it's not. And I had to be reminded that that is not the God voice in my ear. That is the voice of the devil. And I had already been walking with Jesus for 20 plus years, and I was still fighting this until my friend, who was a pastor, sat down with me in this passage and said, Lena, you still have to discern God's voice in your life. And the only way to do that was, and this image was so profound for me, because when we were talking, it actually felt like like arrows. It felt like daily I was waking up and there were arrows that were coming at me, accusations. And I'm like, God, where is this coming from? And I'm getting up every day and I'm proclaiming the gospel, and I'm still over here struggling with all this accusation that did not come from God. And so this idea of take up the shield of faith, right? Faith is the only way, this shield of faith. And so I imagine myself behind the shield of faith, but it takes faith to actually go, there's a shield there. There's a shield of faith there that protects me from the flaming arrows of the evil one. And from that day till now, I do not as much, there's still my moments, right, where I struggle with who is God's voice in my mind and what is God's affirmation to who I am. And so I don't know, you know, where this lands with you. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. You and I, and you know, I know some of us in here, and me as well, are uncomfortable with images of, you know, this image of a battle and armor, and but that, this is the reality. It's a battle. You and I can't go into battle. What is it, that one saying? You can't go into a, what is it, a gunfight and bring a knife or something? I don't know. I don't know what it is, right? What is it? Yeah, don't bring, and I don't, you know, and I don't like those violent images, but just like that, don't go into your life without something. Don't go out there, people. Right? As believers, God has equipped us to be able to stand. And some of the equipping is this passage of Scripture, and it includes the Word of God. And that's what Jesus did when he was in his battle, in his temptation with Satan in the desert. Bam. And Jesus answered the Word of God. And each of those temptations are in and of themselves things that we all deal with. The temptation of power. The temptation of, you know, I got this, I can do this all on my own. The temptation of going after riches. And you have your own conversations and things that are tempting. Anger. You know, wounds from your past, from when you were a child, things that had happened to you. Bitterness. You all, some of us might be carrying bitterness around that's killing you. Your bitterness and your unforgiveness is killing you, and it's killing your relationships with other people. And the only way to kind of get rid of that is to actually bring it to the cross, surrender it to God, ask for forgiveness, put it on the wall. I don't care what it is. But don't keep carrying it around, because it's dragging you down, and we will not experience the power of God in our lives. And I'm not saying that everything is going to be rosy, because it will probably continue to be something that you have to wrestle with, and you have to kind of get in the game. You got to get in the game and not sit back. While all those temptations that are happening are profound and real, each of the temptations that Jesus has, and he answers back, you know, my will is to, you know, all the answers that Jesus said there. What's at the core of the temptations is so funny to me. is this idea that comes from chapter 3, right? Chapter 3, right before this, Jesus was baptized, and the voice from heaven came down and said, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." God already answered Jesus' identity and said, "You belong to me." So before Jesus went out into the desert, God had already spoken, the voice of God had already spoken and said, "This is your identity. This is who you are. You are my Son. You are my daughter. I'm pleased with you." And then Jesus went into the desert. And those temptations, while they are real about power and all of that stuff, those temptations begin with this one question. Guess what it is? If you are the Son of God, then do this. That the core of a temptation that Jesus was facing and that you and I face is this question: do you believe in who God says that you are? When you mess around with the identity, if you forget who you are, if you're disconnected from the faith community that is supposed to remind you of who you are, if you're disconnected from this that reminds us who we are, if we don't have a vibrant, kind of committed and loving relationship with God that reminds us who we are, when we come to the table and have sacrament which reminds us who we are, and we walk away and we forget that, then the flaming arrows of the evil one are coming after us. And our identity has to be grounded in this reminder that God has said, "You are my Son and you are my daughter, in you I am well pleased." This is your identity. And so in this season of Lent, I just want you to sit with that. Maybe you can write that somewhere, and just as you're going through your own journey of Lent, the things that you've decided to give up, there may come some question about, is that really what I said? Is that really what I said to you? And this world, I'm so proud of some of the young people in our congregation who have given up social media for 40 days. Because we have to disconnect from some stuff. We have to disconnect from some stuff to actually give space for God. Some of you have shared with me your own Lenten observations, and I'm grateful for that. And those of you that have chosen to do that and have asked for prayer, I've committed to pray for you, that surrendering some of those things in the next 40 days will allow you to hear God's true voice, God's voice about who you are. Your identity isn't wrapped up in what other people think. It's not wrapped up in how smart you are. It's not wrapped up in how all the things that give us our, how much money you have, what kind of car you drive, what kind of home you have, you know, what status position you have at your job, all those things that we kind of grasp and kind of try to put in ourselves to make up our identity. Remember this, that God has already said yes to you. God has a resounding yes to you, regardless of any of that other stuff. It doesn't matter. And hopefully, if you know that, now you're free. You're free and open to what God wants to pour into you. Do you believe and do you know what God has said? That you are his beloved son or daughter. That you belong to him. The covenant is real. The covenant is real. Nothing can separate you from God's love. That God does have a plan for you and for your life, and it is a plan to prosper you and to do good by you and not to bring you harm. That you are forgiven all of your sins. You don't have to carry around shame. We often talk about the cross removes guilt, but it also removes shame. Whatever it is that has brought shame on you, give it back or give it to God. He's already taken care of it. Do you believe that God came to give you an abundant life? Do you believe that God's grace is sufficient for you? There's no more grace. God gave it all. Sometimes we act like if I do just a little bit more, I'm going to get a little bit more grace. God already gave it all. There's no more, there's not a grace closet somewhere where there's more grace that's coming. It's all there. Do you believe that God will never leave you or forsake you, that God is Emmanuel, God with you? This is your answer. And Jesus answered. Some of these things that I've just listed are answers back in your season of Lent. Words that bring new life. whatever other identity or words or lies that you hold on to that keep you from hearing his voice to you, voices like, I got this. Like I said, I'm a sinner. My sin is too great. God can't forgive that. I'm too weak. Yes, actually. We are weak to stand against things on our own. Our reliance upon God is how we make it through. I'm sure there are many others, but that's what this season is about. It's a constant pulling us back to celebrate God's new life and to let go of and to surrender and die to the things that actually bring us death and bring our relationships death, our friendships death, our marriages death, our families death, all of it. Worry, anxiety, conflict, bitterness, the need to be perfect all the time, let it go. Let it go. We're going to come to the table in a few minutes. These elements of bread and wine that remind us what God has done for us to free us in ways toward new life by and through his Spirit that abides in us. Amen.